The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good morning. This is Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. This is Change Matters Solutions, and I am Kenny Hendricks, back from a week in Cabo San Lucas, and I am ready and raring to go. Again, this is Change Matters Solutions. I am Kenny Hendricks.
And good morning. I am Colette Williams, and yes, it is Tuesday morning, October 4th. 2016. This is Change Matters, and I am sunny, southern, cloudy. What's going on, California? Thank you for being with us. We also have guest contributor on the line, Renee Cole, here with us from Dallas. Renee?
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me. It is my pleasure. And I want to send prayers out to the brothers and sisters in Haiti and in Florida and in the Caribbean.
Absolutely.
Where the hurricane is so, so bad. So I just send blessings and prayers to all of our human family in those areas.
Great. Oh, that's right. And remember, we had Haiti experienced another hurricane like that years back, and I sure hope this one gives them a break.
Yeah, the earthquake 6 years ago was devastating, and they have not recovered from that. So that's a whole different story, because enough money was sent to them that they didn't receive, but we'll talk about that after November.
Ken, go ahead, because we do have guests, and we've got a tight show. We have a whole lot to talk about. We'll be on this show probably for the rest of the week. We've got so much to talk about. Let's get our guests introduced. Ken, can you introduce our guests? We're so glad to have them.
Yes, we are. We are honored and privileged to have three luminaries, three leaders of the black community that are going to join us for this discussion, and we'd like to thank all three of them. We have, first of all, Mr. Jim Klingman, who is the nation's most prolific writer on economic empowerment for black people. He has a weekly syndicated newspaper column called Blackonomics that's featured in hundreds of newspapers, magazines, and newsletters. Mr. Klingman has written six books, the latest of which is Black Empowerment with an Attitude. He's the former editor of the Cincinnati Herald newspaper and the founder of the Greater Cincinnati African American Chamber of Commerce. He was an adjunct professor at the University of Cincinnati for 12 years, where he taught black entrepreneurship and the history of the black church. He also taught business planning at Smart Money, which is a community services center in Cincinnati, and he taught public speaking at Cincinnati Christian University. Mr. Klingman has received many awards for his journalistic work, including the prestigious Black Press of America's 2008 Black Press Champion. He was also named a history maker on the 2005 list, which is now in the Library of Congress. Joining him will be Amafika Giyuka, who recently gained acclaim in 2009 when he completed a 1,069-mile walkathon from the site of his charter school in Florida to Washington, D.C. He's been a member of the Congress of Racial Equality, which is CORE. He established the Center for Black Awareness in Utica, New York, and co-founded the Marcus Garvey Memorial Black Solidarity Committee, and established the Pan-African Cultural Experience. He later founded the Golden Rule Housing and Community Development Corporation. He has collaborated with Mr. Klingman on the conventions that they have, and we'll be talking about that. Also, we have Mr. Ray Wilkerson, who is the founder and CEO of Exodus House in New Orleans, which is an organization dedicated to dealing with mental illness, homelessness, incarceration, and substance abuse in our community. And again, we thank all of these fine gentlemen for joining us this fine day. And we'd like to start with you, Mr. Giuca. Can you tell us about this convention that is coming up in October, I believe it's 20th through the 23rd, which is the I Am One of a Million convention?
Yes, please, for the opportunity, Brother Hendricks. The effort to create the 1 million conscious and conscientious black contributors and voters started a little over 2 years ago between my co-founder Jim Klingman and myself. And this upcoming convention is a plateau or a step along the way towards where we're taking that movement. We have been laying the foundation for this movement to evolve into a bona fide organization or series of organizational structures and entities. So this particular convention is our first effort to convene a gathering of national scope to bring together, ideally at least, to bring together a representation of those 3,000 to 5,000 people who, over the course of the past 2 years, have seen fit to visit our website and decide, for whatever their individual reasons might have been, that they want to be included in the million, in the particular million. And I like to use all caps with this, the 1 million, so that we're talking about and understand that we're talking about a special collection or assembly to people, not just the number, not even just a percentage. So the idea here is to put on display what it is that this movement is all about and what it is seeking to achieve. So it will be somewhat different than what people are accustomed to from conventions. The idea is to do two things primarily. Number one, to establish and demonstrate the primal importance of economic empowerment to whatever it is that black folks would seek to do to be able to bring about a change in our condition that favors us. And secondly, how we then use that empowered position to influence the formation of public policy, or what people refer to as the passing of laws in this country, so that we can begin to change laws that hurt us and bring into existence laws that would benefit us. So the first, as Jim points out, there is a dependency relationship between money and politics, and we want to demonstrate that. And we will have people on program at our convention that will be able to show how the dots can and should be connected. So this is a working convention. People will be presenting positions that may be a bit different from what they're accustomed to, but which are practical and have the potential to bring about the solutions that a lot of us talk about, but tend not to be anything substantive or practical about bringing into existence. So that's a synopsis of it. And in closing, let me say that the important thing for the listeners to understand is this is a place for you to be if you are serious about wanting to bring about the changes to the condition of black people, especially the power relationship between our people and non-black people. If you're serious about wanting to be a contributor to that effort, you need to be in Atlanta, October the 20th to the 23rd, and be there with bells on, so to speak, ready to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Ready to contribute. That is really interesting. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, Mr. Giuca, is that where do you see us going, one, after the election, two, where do you see us going from here, from where we are? What do you see happening with black folks, and prayerfully, Black folks, me included, will get all of this that you are, that you're doing, you and Mr. Klingman. And I sense a very strong commitment to this. And I know that you have a very strong commitment. And one of the things that we're missing nowadays is that very strong commitment. So can you talk about that for a minute?
And before you start, let me just give out the telephone numbers. For those out there in, that are listening or want to join in, you can join in on area code 704-951-5030. And if you just want to dial in and listen, you can call 641-715-3660. And that is a conference line, and you can dial 549-032 as the participant code. If you're on that line and would like to join, just hit star 61. And we'd also like to say hello and invite our YouTube listeners to chime in as well. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Giuca.
Thank you. The most direct way to respond to that question, Sister Colette, is to say that we want to go from the predicament or the condition we are in, which is one we acknowledge as being one of powerlessness, to mm-hmm. a position where we have some power. And so the question then becomes, how do we do that? A lot of people talk about the condition we're in and how that compares to the condition we would like to be in, but don't necessarily have any plans to put forth or to execute as to how we get there. This movement of ours is designed by its very nature to take us from powerlessness to power. How much power depends upon who joins with us and how much of a commitment those people who join with us will bring to the table. What we're attempting to do, sister, is to assemble the caliber of Black folk who, as of today, I mean, as of this conversation in this program, those folks, for the most part, applying their trade and are applying their talent, skills, and ability to sustain the very system of racism and white supremacy, which most of us say that needs to be dismantled. Now, we're not doing that deliberately or intentionally. It's just that any employment in this society, the employer tends to be white folks. Black folks tend to be employees, and even those of us who may have entered into business, we have a tendency to be in business that depends upon the support and participation of the same people that we consider to be a part of the system of racism and white supremacy. So how do we break the locks that these people have on us? We have to somehow or other get a proportionate share, at least, of those most talented people that our race produces, who are currently plying their trade in ways that inadvertently support, maintain, and sustain, and even strengthen the system of racism and white supremacy, and have them apply those talent, skills, and abilities to the uplift and advancement of our own people. It's sort of like in another scenario, you would say that if, in fact, the best blue chip football and basketball players that Black people produce were to leave the predominantly white institutions and go play their sports at HBCUs, we would return to a day and time or a situation where the best of those sports is being played in Black universities and Black colleges. So what we're trying to do here is to redirect the energies, the talents, the abilities, and the commitment of the best and brightest people that we've been able to produce from service to the maintenance of the status quo to service to the uplift of our people so that we change the power relationship between Black folk and white folk. This convention coming up later this month will lay out the plan and lay out some of the how-tos that we intend to go about achieving that.
Now, having said that, I really wish that I could click my heels and be there. And it sounds like it's really going to be a great event, an uplifting and inspiring event. Mr. Klingman, at that conference, convention, what is your anticipation in terms of the number of people that participate? How many people do you think you'll have, and what is your expectation of numbers?
Well, we're expecting, of course, as
as optimistic people that we will have. Our first number was 1,000. We were looking for 1,000 people to be there. We have since reduced that expectation because of various reasons among our membership who couldn't get there for some reason or the other. We want a minimum of 250 people to be there. That would be a critical mass among our membership from 42 different states that could return to their homes and continue to enlighten and to spread the word about what we're doing and increase our recruitment efforts as well as the relationships that we need to have, must have, among our own members. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the numbers are important, but they're not of primary importance.
Sure, of course.
As long as we're doing what we're supposed to do and presenting the information so that those who are there will be able to go back and share it and build upon it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And with that, hopefully the numbers will be beyond 250 people. And that 250 people, hopefully they will come from all over the country, not just the Atlanta, Georgia area, because it sounds like this is something that the entire ethnicity needs to be a part of. Of course, that's going to be very difficult, but I'm sure if you had 250,000 people, you wouldn't be upset. But okay. So, my next question, and I've got to also turn
let
it
me
over
just
to
add a follow up to that.
Go ahead.
We have informed all of our members across the country. We have people coming from California, from Texas, from Ohio, Michigan, all over the map where we have members. So we will have a broad cross section of registrants and attendees at this convention.
And how are you getting the information out?
Well, we have our own website and our own webmaster, who is also a member, of course. And we sent out text messages, robocalls, emails, but the best way that we believe that we follow through on that is to make personal phone calls to people and to get our state organizers to follow through in their particular states to get the word out to them and encourage them to attend the convention.
Okay.
You know, I have kind of a it might sound like a very basic fundamental question, but I think a lot of people aren't understanding, and I guess my question is two parts. First of all, the first part is what I think people need to understand is what economic empowerment means. And I think there may be I'm listening to the numbers. You know, you're talking about 250,000. This is the type of thing that should have, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 people there listening, trying to understand what we need to do in the Black community for economic empowerment.
Right.
And to either of the gentlemen, what do you think that in our community we just don't understand that? I know there's a long history of non-education and miseducation, but what is stopping people from seeing that and saying, hey, I need to be involved in this, and how do we get past that?
Well, the information is certainly out there. I've been writing my column on economic empowerment for 23 years now. And it's a weekly column that goes through all the Black newspapers across the country. You may have seen it where you live. It's called Blackonomics. And just a shameless plug, my latest book is called Black Dollars Matter, Teach Your Dollars How to Make More Sense. And, you know, we do our part, Mafika and Ray and others, we do our part to make sure the information is out there relative to the importance of economic empowerment first in our lives. And I've promoted this concept for many years, as well as participated and developed initiatives that economically empower our people. So I don't think we can use not knowing as an excuse. I do believe, though, that some of us are still psychologically enslaved when it comes to believing what we are, you know, where our place is in this country and what we can do, what we can't do, what the man won't allow us to do, and those kinds of things. So that keeps us from pursuing the most important aspect in this society, on Earth at least, and that's economics.
We walked
away from that in the mid-60s and pursued political empowerment. That was over 50 years ago. We still don't have political empowerment. Why? Because we were not operating from a position of economic strength.
Right.
We abandoned our economic base. So now we find ourselves virtually powerless. And our goal is to raise those issues, to keep those issues at the forefront, and to develop and participate in economic empowerment initiatives that will create more businesses, grow those businesses, hire more people, and create more conscious Black millionaires.
I'd like to add to that if I may.
One of my favorite quotes from the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey is that the greatest weapon used against the Negro is disorganization. And I tend to interpret that to mean the absence or the lack of effective organization. One of the traps that Black folks have been manipulated into is that we talk about things without necessarily feeling obliged to do anything to change the things to the better that we talk about. So we cannot accomplish those things that we talk about needing to be accomplished unless we organize ourselves to be able to pull it off. So the difference between this movement, if there's a singular difference that separates the 1 million conscious and conscientious Black contributors and voters from other well-intended initiatives, is that our central focus and thrust is to organize the best and the brightest of our people who we can get to respond to this appeal, to bring into the service of our own people their talents, skills, and abilities so that we can be an effective player in this system, which is designed to respond only to people who have the presence of mind and the capacity and the will to organize themselves to gain effectively.
I have a statement and a question here. This is Renee. And I too, quote Marcus Garvey. One of my favorites is he said that you Negroes are out of your minds if you think that this white man who killed and brutalized your ancestors, drug you over here and enslaved you for almost three centuries, and just because you claim to be a human being, he's supposed to give you a part of what he stole from you? He said, you're going to have to work your way out of this. Okay.
Right.
He said, you're out of your minds if you believe he's going to give it back to you. And one of the things that we talk about probably every week on the station is how Black people have always waited for permission. We've waited for white people to help us with this or do this for us or show us the way out of this. When there's no way they would do that. If somebody, you know, burglarizes your home and steals your cute puppy, just because you get on TV and beg for them to bring the puppy back, they're not bringing it back. They wouldn't have taken it in the first place.
And they're not going to help you recover.
That's right, they're not going to help you. The other thing that I wanted to add to that is that from people in the community have complained about what our black president hasn't done for us. And one of the things that I've been aware of is that, from my perspective, and I could be wrong about this, is that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. So the people who have been in the president's face the most, the people who have made the most noise, the gays for gay marriage, you know, the people about just the different types of initiatives that people have gone out there for, but they have put their money where they're, you know, to their campaign. They have made sure that
right.
they've had the money to go to Washington, D.C., and to campaign for whatever it is that their initiative is. Is that one of the reasons why we are still in the position that we're in, is because we don't take advantage of you know, yeah. campaigning?
And we are sure. coming to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. But what I'd like to do before we go to a break is give out some websites. Mr. Wilkerson's website is ExodusHouseNO.com. There is JoinTheMillion.com. There's IAmOneOfTheMillion.com. And, of course, Mr. Kleeman's site, Blackonomics.com. And I would encourage our listeners all over the country to go to these sites, read the information. There's a wealth of information on all these sites, and support these sites. And if you can,
yeah.
get to the convention in October, to the 1 million conscientious black contributors and voters mm-hmm. national convention, October 20th through the 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Impact Event Center. And you can find that information online. So I just wanted to make sure we got that out before we went to the break.
And don't forget to give our numbers out to the audience. And remember, this is important to everyone. And as Ken stated, we've got to get this information out, and we can't stress it enough. And you've got our numbers. Call in. Send us an email. Send us a text. Join in this conversation, because it is vital to our community. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about us. It's vital to the community. These are three men who've got their fingers, and not just one, on the pulse of the black community. They have come to us with solutions, with answers, with remedies. And remember, our phone number, folks, to call in is 641-715-3660, and that is code 549032 pound, and hit *6 and 1 to comment on the air. You can also call in at 704-951-5030. And remember, this is Change Matters, and we've got to take a break. So we will be right back. Join the conversation, and thank you very much. This is Change Matters. I am Colette Williams. Join the conversation.
And I'm Kenny Hendricks. I want to make sure you introduce again. We still have Amafika Giuka. We have Professor James Klingman, and we have Ray Wilkerson. And we will be at the break shortly here. Make sure you call in. And again, we are on YouTube. Scotty, are you there? Can you give that YouTube channel?
Yes. It's our regular YouTube channel, Black Talk Radio. If you go to YouTube, just type in Black Talk Radio. It will take you to our channel where we are now live streaming our programs as well as out over the station. So if you're on YouTube, you will also be able to see the podcast on YouTube as well when the program's over.
Okay. Wonderful. Great. Thank you, Scotty. Okay, we are headed to break.
You're listening to Change Matters Solutions on Black Talk Radio, hosted by Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio Network. This is Change Matters Solutions. I am Kenny Hendricks, and our special guests today are Professor James Klingman, we have Amafika Giuka, and we have Ray Wilkerson. We've been talking about the convention that they're having, the 1 million conscious and conscientious black contributors and voters, that is happening October 20th through the 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia. And we also talked about the convention, how the organization started, and what people can do in terms of supporting the organization. Professor Kleeman's book.
We have a caller, Jim. I'm sorry. We have a caller.
I'm sorry?
We have a caller from 404 area code.
Okay, let's go ahead and go to the caller.
Yeah.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us. Yeah, we've got Kenny Hendricks, Colette Williams, and a full house. Go ahead with your question.
Absolutely. This is Montoya. Hello to all of the men from the 1 Million Conscious Contributors and Voters, Montoya Smith. I think it was Kerry, you asked the question of, in a sense, you know, how do we get people to pay attention, or, you know, based on what we're doing with the 1 Million Conscious Contributors and Voters concept. You say, hey, it should be, you know, the number should be much higher just based off the concept of it. And I just wanted to offer, in the sense, the way that it was answered, the challenge becomes is basically in the media age, everything is marketing. You know, I mean, we literally have one of the leading presidential candidates in their position because he understands marketing in an age where celebrity has a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, when you're saying how do we get people to pay attention, because, you know, in all of the answers I heard, I do this with my grassroots stuff too as well. I understand that it's quite difficult quite often to have people pay attention to what they need to pay attention to. You know, me and Mr. Kleeman, we go back and forth quite often about that concept, and like I said, he's been at it way longer than I ever have, and I respect him more than anything in this world. At the end of the day, we have to figure out how to master marketing. You know, we know 4 out of 5 businesses fail in our community, even more than that. But for the businesses that are successful, the majority of them have a marketing budget out of this world for that business to be successful. And I'm not saying that that hasn't taken place in this situation, but to answer your question, we have to go into everything. The best product in the world is not sell if people don't know about it. So to answer that question, we have to figure out how to market, even to, in a sense, those who are not as conscious, or, you know, even the conscious people to even know about it. There's conscious people who would pay attention, but we got to just figure that part out. That's the answer to how we get more people involved, in my opinion.
Well, are you going
to the conference?
I'll be actually part of the convention, so yes, absolutely.
Oh,
but I just listen in to support these brothers. I admire all three of them in an amazing way. But again, in answering your question, I felt like we were speaking to why people should. We're not answering the how. And again, I'm not saying I have all the answers. It's just we got to figure out that focus, in my opinion.
Okay. And are you taking a constituency?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I'm here in Atlanta, so I do have somewhat of a grassroots organization here. So definitely bringing them to the convention.
Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for calling in. And please remember to support this. Thank you for supporting this. And also support Black Talk Radio. And I certainly hope that I'm in California, and I hope someone from Black Talk Radio will be there at the convention 2021, 2022, and 2023, because this will be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
Brother Elliot for Time for Awakening should be there, and I haven't talked to him yet, but he may broadcast it on the station live, right, as we just did the For the Locks conference in Philadelphia over the weekend.
Okay. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I sure hope that the constituency is there and people are supporting this. It really, really, really needs to happen. It really does. So let's go back to our guests, and we've got more questions.
Can I comment on what you said, just Sister Renee? Because
sure,
what you just
absolutely
said is extremely, extremely important and significant. We all know, for example, that we can't even duck and dodge what is going on during this election cycle with the way that the major media, so to speak, the mainstream media, has been all over this dog and pony show, starring Donald Trump and co-starring Hillary Clinton with a bunch of other people playing bit parts. But everything that these people do, every convention, every gathering, every so-called debate, it is covered by the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. This event that we're putting together for later this month in Atlanta should be covered similarly by any and all conscious media. So just as NBC, ABC, CNBC, MSNBC, C-SPAN, CNN, et cetera, would never miss being in place when something that they're doing and are participating in is taking place, the conscious black media has to come to that point of maturity as well and realize that if they are to do an effective service for the rank and file of our people, for our people collectively, they have to be where the action is and make sure that their respective audiences are aware directly of what is being done so that we're not all thinking that we all we do is talk about things and nobody amongst us is actually doing something about the things that we so love to talk about.
Right,
I love
that
you brought up that point that this needs to be covered. We need to have people doing remotes. Ray might want to mention that because he's been reaching out to some of the conscious black media to talk specifically about them doing remote broadcasts from our convention when we convene in Atlanta later this month.
Absolutely.
And everyone, I cannot stress it enough, but this is one of those things that takes me back to the 60s, and I'm really thrilled to have had the introduction to the three of you, because Ken and I and Renee, we talk frequently about how to get folks not only upright, but change the consciousness. Because until that happens, this genocide is going to continue to go on. And before you know it, we're going to look around as just us. And the things that are going on in the black communities, it's amazing that people continue to do the same thing day after day, day in and day out, without thinking something is desperately wrong. And something is desperately wrong. And it's got to change. It really has to change. Mr. Amafika, one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, I know that you were talking about where we go from here. Can you expand on that a little bit more? Because I'm here in California, and I don't see black folks really going anywhere. I really and truly do not. And my conversation is constantly about what's going on in other parts of the country where there is a much larger concentration of blacks. And there are black folks here in California that would say, how can you say that? We're able to buy houses. I got a Mercedes. I got okay. So there are those folks that will dispute that. But from where I sit, I don't see anything going on. I really don't. I see that when there's a shooting, those who are supposed to be protesting are dancing on cars. They're doing the jig, dancing on cars.
But that's all the media wants you to see.
Hold on a second. That's right. That is what they want us to see, and that's what they show us. And they do show us that. And they show us that because, one, they couldn't show it to us if it weren't going on. So the other part of that is, what do we do? How do we get, and I'm talking to folks all the time, students all the time. So what is your feeling about making the changes that we need to make and getting people to understand that we've got to do that right now? Time is of the essence. We don't have any more time. So talk to us about that.
That's an excellent question, and I appreciate the opportunity to respond to it. Let me say first and foremost, however, that is precisely why we're having this convention. Over the past 2 years, for example, we have been having gatherings that we call TNOs, training and orientation gatherings. They take place approximately every 3 or 4 months in different parts of the country where we have activists who are willing to serve as the host of those events. This convention is a major coming together from across the nation to put our program, our agenda, to introduce our planks to those folks who are not familiar with them and to reintroduce them to the folks who perhaps were aware of them already. But we have an action agenda. Coming out of this convention, for example, we would anticipate that there will be several things that people should be interested in, whether they are or not. For example, one of the presenters at this event will be Apostle Ray Wilkerson, who has a venture, Exodus House, mm-hmm. which is actually, in addition to a very practical way of reintroducing some of our brothers and sisters who are currently or have been incarcerated back into society. You might recall that that was the way that the Nation of Islam initially built themselves mm-hmm. into the force mm-hmm. that they became, which is That's arguably right. perhaps mm-hmm. the only black created and sustained force that is a force to be reckoned with. And they built that on the basis of helping to reorganize the thinking, the acting, and the behavior of our brothers and sisters who had been incarcerated so that when they came back out here into the world, they would be able to be a constructive force or contribute to a constructive force. Similarly, what Brother Ray is doing can accomplish the same thing in the here and now in real time, but folks don't know about it. So he will be exposing the opportunities inherent in that concept at our convention. There will be several others, and I won't take up the time on this program trying to lay them all out, but what I would do is encourage everybody in your listening audience, and of course everyone on this call, to be in attendance at that convention, and any and all questions that you may have, I can assure you, will be addressed. Jim and I have been doing everything we could to make sure that there are no questions left unanswered with respect to where we're attempting to go with this, but I can assure you that this is not a culmination of anything, but the launching into the next phase and to the next level of what we propose to do. There will be and are already planned follow-up events. So the next event after this convention may well be a gathering that will be hosted by Brother Ray, for example, whether in Atlanta or at his location down in New Orleans or up in New Orleans from where I am down here in Florida. So there will also be follow-up events. We've got one of our speakers, and he will be the featured speaker at the tribute to Jim Clingman on Saturday night. That would be Dr. Jackie Mayfield, the founder and CEO of CompoTax, the nation's largest tax preparation, black-owned tax preparation agency. And he has a beautiful facility, a conference facility down in Beaumont, Texas. So one of our upcoming events will be taking place there. But each one of those events, rather than being sort of like an overall thing, such as the convention will be, they will be dealing with a specific component part of what it is that the movement is all about, that people who have a particular interest in that particular thing, whether it's has on the economic empowerment side or whether it's on the public policy influencing side. But there will be subsequent follow-up events over the next year that will consolidate what we present to people at this convention. So there's definitely, sister, an action agenda in place.
And that Great. Is a good segue. We're actually going to do this. Brother Ray Wilkerson, we wanted to give you some time to talk about Exodus House and the types of things that you're doing there with regard to the folks that are there. And why don't you just go ahead and give us some background and tell us about the Exodus House.
Okay, thank y'all for just having me on there with these two great gentlemen. And I'm kind of the young buck of the group. You know, I'm the young one, new kid on the block. I just want to just share real quick a brief history real quick. You know, I remember as I was growing up, I used to, my babysitter, and for so many years, you know, I didn't really know what I was involved with. You know, in the 60s, my babysitters were actually college students who was a part of SNCC. Actually, one of the gentlemen, Gary Brown, and I didn't know at the time, was actually Stokely Carmichael, one of his, he was in his inner court. So I was getting trained at a very young age, and then I had my mom, who was on the civil rights thing. She was just taking me marching and stuff like that. So I mean, I became very black at a young age where I didn't even eat vanilla ice cream. Yeah, it was all chocolate. So
I don't blame you, yeah, buddy.
So coming from a city in Camden, New Jersey, I am a Camdenian, and then I met some man, Jamil Adams, who actually was close friend of Walifi Muhammad, and, you know, following Malcolm X and all those things and protesting in college, all those things led me to wanting to be very active. I knew it was something, I know it's something special about black people, but we just, it's almost like we just don't understand that we're special, that we have power, that we, that inside of us is creativity. We have created almost anything that is of value and non-value in the world today, and we didn't have that understanding. And I've always had that understanding. I was always looking for years, you know, to what could I be a part of? What could I be a part of? And I remember I was listening to this radio show, and I heard Brother Jim Klingman sharing some stuff, and I got real interest. So I called into the show, and I kind of shared my history, how I was on drugs for 20 years and in prison. And when I got out of prison, I was homeless and eating out of trash, and that whole scenario. But what happened when I got out of prison, I knew one thing, one person that wasn't going to fire me, but I knew one person who always hired me, and that was me.
Right.
I knew if I filled out an application and they asked you, have you ever been locked up, you would say yes, and they wouldn't hire you, you would say no, and somewhere down the road they would find you. So, you know, just so in doing all that, self-teaching myself about a lot of stuff, because I knew one thing, no one, and this is on the economic side, nobody of the other ethnicities would ever pay me what I'm worth.
Right.
At all.
That's right.
And then
that's right.
I understand when you talk about creating wealth for generations and families and things like that to create economic empowerment, I understood one thing. I understood that, you know, without no money, you like a felon who votes. Well, a felon can't vote, so a politician don't care about what you say. So if you don't have no economic power or dollars tied to your vote, a politician really don't care what you say. You know,
right.
I was listening to Mr. Klingman on the radio. I called in, and something amazing, how he said two things that really just shook me, because I always believe in that. Because they always say black people can't trust each other. We don't trust each other. We don't do this. He said one thing that was real powerful. He said the easiest way to trust somebody is just to trust them. Wow.
Just do it. Just do it.
Most people that go right, and I always believe that. I always say, I'm going to trust you until you give me a reason not to.
Not to.
I don't care what you did to somebody else. And so, and then he had, then look, watch this. So I'm thinking, you know, this big time guy, even though he's one of the most humble, both of these gentlemen are two of the most humble people in the world, he had the audacity to give me his cell phone number.
and you know what we like to say, I don't give out that number.
Go figure. So coming into the 1 in a million, I mean I was already excited, and then I didn't know who Amashika was until I seen the Friday, the Black Friday stuff. So, and then as I got involved, I saw the freedom. But what I saw more is they wasn't trying to influence people. They wanted people to have power. See, right. You know, a person with influence has to go to somebody, but a person with power can stand on his own two feet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I got into the movement and I read the planks, and it was like right up my alley, you know, I went in with full force, because I believe in what the concept, what the movement that they had. I believed in it, and I knew I had a gift, and for so many years, you know, I used to work, what people don't know, I used to work up in New York. I worked at Bantam, Double Dandel, Standard Port. I worked for all these big white corporations. And I understood this: if I'm making them, if they're paying me X amount of dollars, how much are they making? So understanding the political side, understanding black economics, understanding, you know, growing up in the 60s and 70s where the police, you know, in our community, the police lived in our community, because we actually had control over the police. And people don't understand this, because, you know, I always give this example. We had this one officer who was real nasty. He was nasty. He had a reputation for being nasty. But his only problem was his sons and daughters went to school with us. So we started beating up his sons and daughters. He straightened up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just telling you. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Right. You see, it's a whole difference when the police is your next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. Right. When his sons and daughters got to deal with you. So anyway, but getting back to the 1 in a million, you know, I they give you the opportunity to be yourself, to use your gifts, you know. So, and Exodus House, it was developed based on my life history. It was based on, you know, all these different programs and stuff that I went through. And, you know, people always hear my story. I wound up on the second floor fire escape in North Philadelphia with a 357, get ready to blow my brains out. Jesus Christ came and saved me. He told me I was tired of me doing what I was doing to myself. And then from there, the rest was history. So I developed a program based on my life skill. What I understand, one thing I understand about Exodus House, when you're dealing with guys coming out of prison, mental illness, homeless people, you got to understand about men I was a drug dealer for 20 years. You have to understand, a person who wakes up in the morning, flat broke, and by 2 o'clock has $2,000 to $3,000, that's somebody with intelligence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we have to tap into the intelligence that we have, because no one is going to give us nothing. So I was an entrepreneur before I was an entrepreneur.
Right, and why should they give it? Why should they give us anything?
What? Here's the powerful piece. I don't need them to give me nothing, because all the gifts and talent that I have in me will create whatever I need to be created, thanks to God's help. Now, so what I did, what happened was at Exodus House, we were helping people, we're doing all this stuff, and I said, you know what? If McDonald's can franchise, if Burger King can franchise, then we can do that. So when I looked up how do you franchise, and I looked at the price of $200,000 and all this stuff, so you know what I did? I developed what we call a pod program. Just like franchise, but it's a pod program where we actually set people up, we get them a house, we give them clients, we give them, they come up in our umbrella, they actually become their own business owner. We get a percentage, they got to pay all their bills, but they instantly become a business owner just like that. And they don't have to go through all the paperwork that they have to do for the franchise. Same concept. You have to understand, Exodus House is the only shared living program in the state of Louisiana. The state came out and 4 or 5 times because they wanted to give us a license to be a nursing, a residential group home, and we fit none of those things. The model is so far out the box, they didn't even have a license for it. And that's because of our creativity. So with that, we developed the POD program. We have our incubation program where we help new organizations. We have our investment program where you can come if you have... Everybody might not want to be a business owner, but if you might have money to invest. We will tie you with an organization or with a business that you know will be profitable. At the same time, they have the knowledge and you have the resource. So these are the things that we have to do. When we talk about the 1 in a million, you think about this: 1 million people in our organization. We have a businessman who owns a store. He's selling a gallon of milk for $4. Mm-hmm. One day we make a call to our million people, and all of them buy 1 gallon of milk for $4, he automatically becomes an instant multimillionaire. His business becomes a multimillionaire.
Right. Exactly.
He takes those resources that we put seeded in him, he then turns around and gives some resources to another business. But the key is, we have to make sure we put the best team around him. You heard that we talked about a person, Mr. Winfrey, I think that was named, with the accounting service. So we place all these people around this business so that this business can succeed. You remember, 6 million businesses in the United States, 60% fail. Why? Because we don't put enough support around them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about economical power, Exodus House understands that. 1 in a million understands that. So one thing, you know, when we have to vote, we tie the dollar to the vote so that we don't sway policy procedures. We make policies and procedures for our community. We don't sway the curriculum for our school system. We make the curriculum for our school system.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I've got a couple of things to say. First of all, when you said, Ray, that he's selling the gallon of milk and we tell 1 million people to buy those that 1 gallon of milk, that's $4 million. My first thought in my mind was, boom, that's it. It's that simple. It may not be easy, but it's simple. What we're not talking about, We're not talking about rocket science. We're talking about support. It should be done. But we've only got a few minutes left, so I'd like to go ahead and give each one of our guests some time to make a closing statement. And I'd like to give the first statement to Professor Kleeman.
And 1 second before we do that, I'm sorry to intrude, but can we get Mr. Ray Wilkerson to give out his contact information, the website and phone number if you have it, the email address, the way that people can contact you about Exodus House? Could you give that out before we get started with Mr. Kleeman, please?
I'll give out all the websites when they finish.
Okay,
just
go ahead.
Just to conserve time. Mr. Kleeman, please. Professor Kleeman.
Yes, I want you to add to that website list, amafika.com. He also has a very informative website as well, amafika.com.
Thank you.
And I know you know how to spell it. I just appreciate the opportunity. I think we've covered a lot of information, and I just want your listeners to know once again about our convention. Hope to see everybody there. We have a lot of things that we're going to cover and a lot of work that we are doing and will continue to do to empower our people. So I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today.
And we thank you very much for honoring us with your presence.
Thank you.
Yes, and absolutely.
Mr. Giyuka, you want to give us a closing statement?
Yes. The most important thing that I can say at this point is things. Number one, the self-styled conscience should make it their business to be present to, if for no other reason than to report on what goes on at this convention. Even if they attend the convention with a measure of cynicism or skepticism about what it is we're doing or who's involved in doing it, et cetera, should be there so that you can report back to your respective constituencies so that you see they can know that there is something tangible, constructive, and productive that is being done. Secondly, everyone out there who professes to be serious about wanting to see the power relationship between black people and non-black people change to the better for black folk or for the better for black folk ought to make it their business to be there in one way, shape, form, or fashion. And in closing, let me say that I do have a website. Jim just mentioned it, but I want to restate it because sometimes perhaps folks think I'm somebody who just dropped. Scott, I've been on the front lines of this battle for 60-plus years. I'm not a newbie. I just dealt at the grassroots level in the trenches, trying to apply the philosophical and theoretical concepts developed by others to the real-life practical situation. So I've been down there where Ray's been down there, right, dealing with the people at that level. And my website is www.com. And thank you, too, for this opportunity to share with you folks.
And we
I don't
thank
think
you.
That
thank
came
you,
through.
Amafika.
Yeah, that didn't come through.
I'll give it out.
He'll give it again.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And Mr. Wilkerson, closing thoughts, please.
Well, I want everybody to just go to our website, IamOneOfTheMillion.com. Read our planks. If you like what we're doing, join. We don't want to persuade you. It's because we just want 2% of Black America to come on board and watch a great change. But if you like what we're doing, go to our website, read our plank, join, be a part of One in a Million. Also, register to come to the convention. I always say this, and I like to say this, you have all these speakers, and y'all know what I'm talking about, all these speakers speaking all around the world, everywhere, with no power. They're speaking, having a conversation, having a dialogue, no power. But I promise you, the speakers that we have, they're not known, but they have the power to make a change in people's lives.
And with that, thank you very much. And again, let me give you these websites, amafika.com, and Amafika is spelled A-M-E-F-I-K-A, that's amafika.com. There's exodushouseno.com, that's Ray Wilkerson's site. We have jointhemillion.com, IamOneOfTheMillion.com, and Professor Kleeman's blackonomics.com. We want to thank all three of these fine gentlemen for gracing us with their presence and their intelligence and their words. We thank you very much. This is the end of our show. Thank you for joining us. This is Change Matters. I'm Kenny Hendricks.
And I am Colette Williams.
Kenny, Can you say one more thing? Post to the post it to the podcast. There will be the information to go and sign for the reparations.
Oh, right.
Also, and remember to please go to blacktalkradiobaby.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com, and remember we are on YouTube. And I have to give my final comments, and this was a powerful show. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. This was enlightening, and this was special for all of us. And I know my mother is listening, and she would have just been absolutely amazed at all of this. So thank you for joining us. Remember, we'll be back here again next Tuesday, and our guests at that time will be as great. So thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. It's time to sign off. This is Change Matters. I am Colette Williams from California. Thank you for being here. Ken?
This is Kenny Hendricks, Dallas, Texas. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend about blacktalkradionetwork.com. Tell them about Change Matters Solutions and join the conversation. We have a lot to talk about. We want to have more guests like these gentlemen that were with us, and we have a lot of information to disseminate out to the masses. So please join us and listen to the other shows on the network as well, and join us on YouTube. So we're all over the place. So there's no excuse, folks. No excuse, folks.
All over the world, and there is no excuse. Don't say I couldn't get you. You got us. Thank you for joining us. Okay, bye for now.
Thanks, all. Thanks, gentlemen. All right, bye-bye.
Have a great day.